listen to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me.
Welcome to the Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the absolute new face of golf. Question is, have you gone vertical yet? Hi, this is Bob Bupka. So proud to be alongside Jay Randolph Jr. You golfers know him better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. And do we ever have a deal for you? Matter of fact, Jay, why don't you tell him about it?
You want to be as lucky as Bob and I and have a vertical groove driver in your bag or possibly a three-wood? Well, the U.S. Open is next week, and that means time for another Pick the Winner contest for a chance to win either a vertical groove driver or, if the lucky winner wants to have a three-wood, which I wouldn't blame them, we can make that happen too. So that happen as well. So stay tuned for entry details. We'll get to those a little later in the show and obviously next week. What a great contest. What a great chance to have a fantastic club in your bag.
Speaking of a great chance, that's exactly what I think you had the other day. I know you were scheduled for a really busy weekend at Normandy, but I must ask, how did your special appearance with Miss Lisa Ann go at Normandy, a legendary porn star with my partner Jay Randolph? Now, that's a combo that's tough to beat.
It was honestly a pleasure to hang with the AVN Hall of Famer Lisa Ann for 6 hours out at the Rock Normandy Golf Club. She was part of a charity event that raised money for bipolar disorder and research on that. She was a fantastic gal, Bob. We had 176 guys out there, and it was a great day of golf at the Rock. And Lisa Ann sends her best to you.
I knew you'd get that in there. My friend will pass my best. And speaking of best, Jay, we certainly had the best at the Memorial Tournament presented by Nationwide. Of course, you know it is Jack's tournament. Another huge success. Another unpredictable winner in Bryson DeChambeau. He's been knocking on that door. He did win at John Deere, but now, after that birdie on the second playoff hole, he gets a win over Ben Ahn and Kyle Stanley. And here's what Mr. DeChambeau had to say after his round.
It's an honor. I can't believe I did it today. I mean, I knew I was struggling with my ball striking all week. I was putting great, wedging it great around the greens, and was fortunate enough to somehow get it back into play and get up and down pretty much almost every hole. So it was really nice.
To be able to win on Jack's course is pretty special. I know coming here a couple of years ago, I wanted to do it then. My game wasn't near good enough to win. So it's taken a couple of years for me to get to that caliber, and I was fortunate enough to be able to come out victorious here. And this is probably the most important win, I think, of my entire career because of the fact that it happened here at Jack's course, and also because it's kind of validity to me being out here on tour as well. Me being able to get the job done. I know I can do it consistently.
Very humble guy, Jay, and I'm going to take advantage of your ability to play this game quite a stick for a long while. Your thoughts on the radical method employed by Bryson DeChambeau?
I've had that question a lot, Bob, especially since Sunday. And what I'll say is, while I don't necessarily understand some of the stuff he tries to do, and I think we've gotten way out of bounds with all the putting maps and the green maps and all that stuff, and the fact that, you know, his wedge and his three iron are the same shaft length. You know, we can slice and dice that all we want. Here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It's what Bryson DeChambeau thinks, and it's what he believes. And he believes that he's doing the right thing. And now with two PGA Tour wins, the fact that he has been a stud at every level, the junior, the collegiate, the amateur, and now with two wins, hey, it doesn't matter how you do it. The man finds a way to get it in the hole in less shots than anybody else. While I like I said, Bob, I don't understand it. I'm not sure that you do, but it works for Bryson.
Well, I think we can agree on one thing. Neither of us had physics while we were in school, so it's understandable that we probably don't understand it. But here's something you can understand about how talented this young man is. Okay, there's three players in golf history that have won the NCAA, the United States Amateur, and the Memorial. The first two were Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. Now the third is Bryson DeChambeau. That tells me how good he is.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's going to be interesting to see with him, and he's been on a really good stretch of playing well. Sometimes when a guy, you know, goes to the beat of his own drummer, it's hard to keep the consistency. But it appears like he is. He doesn't seem like he's a flash in the pan, a one or two hit wonder. I think he's passionate, Bob, and he's got a lot of history. He loves the history of the game, and hell, he's good for the game. It's good to have a different style and a different theory.
Yeah, I love that Ben Hogan hat. Got a kick out of the story about our young man Neiman there, 19 years old, tried to go to college, failed the English portion of it, so was not admitted, decided to turn pro, three top 10 finishes already, and I think in about seven starts earned well over $1 million. I think probably good move not going to college there, son. I think you're going to do just fine.
Yeah, a guy told me one time, fail intelligently. Well, this guy failed richly. I mean, you know, you couldn't have failed and made a better situation. And Bob, you know, he's kind of our John Rahm of this year. We'll see how he does in the summer. That he secured special temporary status, which gives him unlimited exemptions. But he's only a heartbeat away from getting status to play as an official player. I mean, that's how good he is. Faltered a little bit on Sunday, but still with a tie for sixth. And you look at Justin Rose. Bob, we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. I mean, if he's not the favorite at this year's U.S. Open, I'm not exactly sure. He continues his good play, shot 70 on the final day. And he's, you know, he's trying to catch up with Justin Thomas.
All right, share with us a little bit, Jay. You had the pleasure and honor of being with Justin Thomas in person, up close and personal, just the other day. I know our listeners be interested in your take on Justin Thomas. We all know his ability to play the game, currently ranked number one in the world. But as a individual, what did you come away with, Jay?
I was frankly floored, Bob. I mean, he rolled in. Did about a 45-minute news conference with Julius Mason of the PGA, talked about a lot of different things. His mom and dad were here in St. Louis. They had 91 media credentialed people at the media day, which to me, I thought was unbelievable. And then they told me that the year before down in Charlotte, they had 39. So you can tell how we're itching for golf, and there were a lot of people that came regionally for media day. But I mean, Justin Thomas, I mean, he's either a heck of an actor or he's a really cool young man, and I think it's the latter. He seems to have his head screwed on so right. We make fun every once in a while of that quote that he gave last year after he won the $10 million annuity, that it's a nice cushion to have. Well he just rolled into St. Louis, Bob, and he made a fan of just about everybody, hanging with the Cardinals, going down to the brewery. And he shot 65 with his first look at the golf course, Belle Reve. So I was really wowed by Justin Thomas, and I know you've been around him, and you know, and part of that's the parenting, for sure.
Yeah, and he's also very fortunate. You and I have discussed this on this show and on your weekly radio show there in St. Louis. He does have Jimmy Johnson, one of the top caddies in the game right now, on his back, so that doesn't hurt. As we prep...
Bob, let me just... I want to stop you there for 1 second, because I mean to tell you, in virtually all of his answers to Julius about golf, there was a mention of Jimmy. I mean, and that tells you, Bob and I've been preaching to you, that's a duo. That too, it's like having a 15th club in your bag.
He's excellent caddy. You know, as we build up to what's going to happen, the second major of the year coming up in just 2 weeks. And don't forget, you are going to have an opportunity. We're going to tell you later on where you can win yourself a vertical groove driver, or if you decide, a vertical groove three wood. Trust me, take either one. It's going to improve your game. Some storylines bubbling up nicely, I think. Rory McIlroy certainly started out slow, but that weekend of 65-67, he's going in the right direction. He's my out-and-out pick. I'm on that Rory McIlroy horse right now. But Rory McIlroy certainly playing well. And let's put in that same conversation, Phil Mickelson, you know, looking for that elusive U.S. Open title to get him the career Grand Slam. I think Phil played fairly well. Give me your thoughts on McIlroy and Mickelson.
Well, I think they're on the right track, and I think you look at Ricky Fowler and Dustin Johnson. And, Bob, we were talking a couple of weeks ago how all those worlds were colliding at Augusta and that we kind of had a little bit of a lull and, you know, then the players and being a Quail Hollow. This was a good indication to see some of these guys getting on track before the difficult test at Shinnecock. I think it just builds more momentum. You look at the young kids that are playing well. You look at Cantlay performing well last week. I mean, he looked like he couldn't do any wrong till the final day. So I just think we're once again at that place where we're going to have so much excitement leading up to a major championship. And then you can just start talking about the venue, which you love, and it should be a tremendous week.
Well, it certainly should. And, of course, we'd be remiss. We don't bring up the name Tiger Woods. Matter of fact, here's what Tiger had to say after he finished at Memorial.
I had some chances to shoot some good rounds today, this week. Overall, my game is where it needs to be heading into the U.S. Open. That's something that's very positive. I just need to hit better putts. This week, I didn't feel comfortable with my lines, and my feel was a little bit off. Consequently, I missed a bunch of putts, but I hit it really good this week. So that's a positive going into Shinnecock, where ball striking is going to be a must. Obviously, way different golf shots around the greens. Lots of bump and runs and putters or spinners. It'll be very different. But overall, if I hit the ball like this, I'll be pleased in 2 weeks.
Help me out, Jay. Been around the game a little while, and I haven't heard putters that are spinners.
No, I watched a lot of his action, especially Sunday, and I think it's coming, but I don't think it's coming real soon. I think that, you know, we may be looking at more of August or the fall. You know, he is hitting a lot of good shots. There's no question about that. And, you know, as much as I disagree a lot with Brandel Chambly, they did a little thing on Sunday morning and showed him the difference in the way he swings at a golf ball on tee shots where there's a hazard in play and when there isn't one. And by golly, there sure was a huge difference. I mean, I certainly hope that he's part of the mix at Shinnecock, but nobody knows better than you, Bob. If you start to struggle a little bit, and he started to struggle Sunday afternoon, he did not look like he wanted to be on the back nine. And if you're struggling at a place like Shinnecock, you better watch out.
Well, I can say this from years of experience, and I'm proud to say this is going to be the fourth U.S. Open that I've covered on radio at Shinnecock. I grew up playing that golf course. You better have a hot putter because the putting on Shinnecock is treacherous. It's just the way golf was meant to be. All right. Everybody waiting to know about the big East End barbecue that we had an extended invitation to Adam Scott. And he said that he would be coming. That's scheduled for later this week. He had to go right down to the last three holes of qualifying, basically in the dark, Jay, to get that last spot. But boy, he's keeping that streak alive. Started in 99. This is going to be his 68th straight major. Only one with any better, Sergio Garcia, who's played in 75 straight majors. Just gives you a classic example of the greatness of those two players.
No question. And a young man from St. Louis actually got the phone call because an alternate spot opened. And he had to play, got paired with Adam Scott, you know, and Adam got it done. Great to see that. The longest day of golf featured 11 sectional qualifiers across 8 time zones from England to California. Bob, there were 869 players teeing it up on Monday for 71 spots. The USGA had held back some spots for those that cracked the top 60 in the world next week, if that changes. And how about Steve Stricker, 51 years of age? He made the qualifier in Memphis. Sam Burns was the medalist there. Vijay ended up not playing his second 18. He failed to qualify. And same for Joaquin Niemann, who recently qualified on the PGA Tour for temporary status. But it's going to be, I mean, I can't wait. I don't want to take anything away from our friends in Memphis, Tennessee, but you're up there now, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I took a look at the golf course, going to be on the property tomorrow for an extensive view of the property, and want to be able to bring to our listeners exactly the condition of the golf course. All right, Jay, now it's time. We should have some drum roll. We don't have time. We'll go straight to it. You want to win a vertical groove driver or a vertical groove three wood? We're going to make it very simple for you. Just send your pick in to entry@thegrillroom.net. Pick a winner. Who's going to win the United States Open? Obviously, if we get more than one pick with the same player, we will draw out of the hat. But we want everybody and as many people as possible to enter this contest because we're going to help your golf game. We are going to help your golf game. You're going to drive it better. You're going to drive it further. You're going to drive it straighter. Once again, who do you think is going to win the U.S. Open? Send it to entry@thegrillroom.com. And Jay Randolph Jr. will attest to the magic of that three-wood.
Bob, I love that three-wood. You know, when you hit that just right, it pops up off of that face, lands softly. It's a fantastic three wood. Well, my man Bob, it's time to groove up with our vertical groove golf segment. We'll take a look at the Principal Charity Classic this week. Brant Jobe, he is defending his title in Des Moines, and some of those will be playing the vertical groove equipment this week, or Tim Petrovic, the recent runner-up at the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship. Of course, our man Kenny Perry, Rocco Mediate, the Volcano, Steve Pate, Wes Short Jr., and the man who's surprising everybody out there, Doug Garwood, who loves his vertical groove driver.
Yeah, he really does. And, of course, we're going to be seeing Kenny Perry at the U.S. Open as the title holder of the United States Golf Association Senior Open using a vertical groove driver without compensation last year. He gets to tee it up at Shinnecock. I'm going to be there cheering him on. I'm sure he'll be driving it right out there with those flat bellies because he has that secret weapon, a vertical groove driver. Of course, Bernhard Langer, he'll be playing, as well as a couple of old mainstays. Jerry Kelly, still very active, and a good friend of yours, Jay, Peter Jacobson.
Peter Jacobson. I first met him in 1982. D.A. Wybring had a charity event in Quincy, Illinois, and I mean to tell you, this guy, I call him the Dick Clark of golf. He looks like he hasn't aged, and no wonder he's always happy. Good luck to Jake at the Principal Charity Classic. Unfortunately, Bob, we got some sad news to pass along.
Yeah, absolutely. And we want to wish a speedy recovery to Bud Cauley. He did miss the cut at Memorial and then unfortunately was involved in a car accident. He was a passenger, but he ended up with 5 broken ribs, collapsed lung, broken leg. He's already had some surgery, some more surgery expected, Jay. But boy, as you well know, if you're a golfer, broken ribs, is, you know, maybe the only thing worse with something with your back or your wrist, but broken ribs, certainly no fun.
No, and it takes time to heal, and it, you know, it's looking like, you know, we wish him the best, but as somebody who's been in a car accident and had six broken ribs, it does take a while, and we wish him the best of luck and a speedy recovery.
Yeah, most likely his season is over, but we're happy that he's okay. Come on, Bud Crawley, you're a toughie. Let's get well. Let's get back on the PGA Tour.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2. Tune in, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, "Hey, Alexa, play the Grill Room Golf Show," and you'll be connected. When we return, we'll head to the Vertical Groove Hotline and check in with the MorningRead.com's Alex Mosella.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Time now in The Grill Room when we get an opportunity to speak to Alex Mosella, founder and publisher of Morning Read. And Alex, must admit, read some stuff in Morning Read this morning that really had my head spinning. Hopefully, you'll be able to decipher it a little bit. But it seems like the tour and Discovery, in the process of negotiating a global digital deal that may change the face of television, if not entirely in this country, certainly internationally.
Well, I mean, you're right, Bob. Most people wouldn't have thought that there would be a multi-billion dollar deal between the PGA Tour and what most people would know as Discovery Channel, but is really Discovery as it's branched out and owns a lot of different properties, including the Food Network and HGTV. It has the Olympic rights overseas in many countries. It has a Eurosport browser that allows people to watch a lot of different sports in the European Union. So it's a global player out there. And when they decided to get involved with the tour, it was kind of a surprise. But if you listen to the principals from both the PGA Tour, in this case Jay Monahan, and the principals from Discovery, you understand what their plan is. And it's kind of a twofold approach. The first part of it is where the tour is basically selling their rights to all of their international cable broadcasts, or what we would call, or television, or what we call linear rights to Discovery. And this one will let Discovery go ahead and sell those rights out to different companies or different television networks or channels, whatever it may be, in the different countries throughout the world. And I think Discovery's in something like 220 countries. So that one eliminates the tour from having to get involved with negotiating deals with every country out there. And two, it gives the tour an upfront amount of money, which was unclear, even though we said that the deal was $2 billion. How much of that money goes towards that part of the equation was a bit unclear, but I'm sure it's something that's beneficial to the tour. And it gets them out of a business, which is not something they do, which is negotiating rights fees all over the world. So that was the first thing. And also, by the way, it probably gives them a little more exposure than they would have gotten on their own. Secondly, they're going to do what is called an OTT, or over-the-top channel. And that is where you start getting and receiving content through digital means, if it's your phone or your iPad or your computer or whatever device is going to come out of the woodwork over the next. In this case, this deal goes for 12 years, so it'd be 2030. And what this means is the PGA Tour started a over-the-top channel basically when it did PGA Tour Live in the United States. And that's available in certain places throughout the U.S., but is not currently available in a place that is very large in regards to golfing enthusiasts, which is the U.K., because of the relationship the PGA Tour has with Sky Broadcasting. But in 2019, the tour is going to go ahead and expand beyond, and they're going to bring PGA Tour Live to the UK. I'm not really sure, not knowing the contract situation with Sky, obviously there's some option in there for them to do that. But what this whole thing means is that they can create this huge over-the-top channel with Discovery that can be exposed to all over the world, bringing all the PGA Tour's content, not only current content, meaning not like Memorial last week, but also all the archival content they have going back into the 70s and further back, and anything else that they might own, President's Cup, Players Championship, whatever they may own, they'll bring into this equation. At the same time, Discovery will take some of this $2 billion that they've committed, and they will bring that money in to developing a player. Currently, they use a player for their Eurosport content, but they're not sure they want to use that player. They'll probably develop a brand new player for this PGA Tour type over-the-top product. And then they will also bring in all the production and operation costs into paying for this service. And then all of a sudden you have a subscription service, which they will obviously take a piece of, as well as the tour. There could be some other promotional vehicles in there, from advertising to other kind of promotion, if it's a FedEx situation or whoever might be involved with the tour or involved with Discovery. So now all of a sudden you have this huge over-the-top channel down the road with Discovery that the tour is, all they're doing is basically providing content that they already own and have to do very little with, and all their rights are being dealt with over internationally without them having to be involved. And what was interesting is that in the conversation with Jay Monahan just the other day about this, he said that he would receive phone calls and congratulations emails from Martin Slumbers from the RNA, from Mike Davis from the USGA, and from Pete Bavacqua of the PGA of America, which only brings up the idea that, does this mean at some point you could see RNA, USGA, PGA of America content on this player? And the answer is most likely yes, at some point down the road.
We're talking with Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. Before I let you go, Alex, the apparent casualty in all of this from a layman's point of view, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it would seem likely to be that Golf Channel could be in a position to be taking it on the chin.
Well, I think, first of all, you have to remember this is all international. It's not domestic. But the CEO of Discovery yesterday, when we had this press conference, mentioned creating a Golf Channel product six different times in this interview. And Jay Monahan, who was sitting right next to him, I wasn't there, but I was on the phone, but it was clearly sitting right next to him, never corrected him in the use of that term. So I think that that idea, at least internationally, is something they're thinking of. What will happen with domestic rights, both linear and digital down the road, is very unclear, because the tour has now to, they have to wait till 21 to negotiate their new deal, which means their new deal discussions have probably already started in 18, but they'll really go in earnest in the middle of 19 and going into early part of 20. And that's when we're going to know a lot more about what's going to happen, not only with the relationship with the Golf Channel and the PGA Tour, but with CBS and with NBC, the two big partners. I think back in the day, Bob, Fox used to be a stalking horse in regards to, you know, well, there's a possibility we could bring Fox into the equation, the tour would say, which would usually, you know, maybe bring up the price a little in regards to the rights deals that they would have with CBS and NBC. That's no longer the case. Fox, I think, has more than enough golf. I don't think they see a need to be involved in buying any more golf. And ABC is not really a player in this as well. However, when ABC/Disney does their own system that they're talking about, their own over-the-top channel, they have already started doing different things with ESPN, and which is like an ESPN Plus thing. In that channel alone, this new ESPN over-the-top thing, there is PGA Tour content currently. So the lines are so blurred now that is very unclear what's going to happen. But if you're someone that's specifically involved in golf, like the Golf Channel is, you have to wonder if you lose in any way, shape, or form some kind of foothold with the PGA Tour, what do you have left? Because the PGA Tour not only owns, you know, the PGA Tour, the Champions Tour, the Web.com Tour, all the other lesser tours, but they have they're going to have the ability to then bring in the LPGA when we get to these new negotiations through a deal that they signed over a year ago. So then all of a sudden, if you're the Golf Channel, you could be looking at European Tour and, you know, who knows what, you know, the celebrity event in Las Vegas, in Lake Tahoe. So it's a concern. It has to be a concern. There's no question, but we don't really know what could happen out of this, but I think you're right to think that this is not what's happening with Discovery cannot be looked at as a positive for the Golf Show.
Bob, you know, the digital marketplace and the way things are changing online and the way people view things is really fascinating. You had an interesting situation on Sunday where they moved the tee times up. CBS put their coverage on their cable channel, CBS Sports, and I watched it online on my computer. You know, this is one of the areas that's going to grow, and $2 billion is a whole lot of money.
That's Jay Randolph kind of money, as far as I'm concerned. Over the top Jay Randolph tour getting $2 billion, but money can't buy what we got coming up next.
No doubt about it. When we return, it'll be time for our Voices of the Game right here on The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Straight down the middle. It went straight down the middle. Then it started to hook just a wee bit. And that's when my caddy lost sight of it.
Hi, this is Kelly Elbin with Golf Life Navigators. It's a pleasure to welcome you to another edition of Voices of the Game, where we spend a few minutes with some of the outstanding golf media who've covered this great game down through the years. And I'm pleased to welcome today a good friend, contributing writer for both Golf World and Golf Digest, and an Ohio native, Dave Shedlosky. Dave, great to be with you again.
Kelly, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Shedlosky is a native of Cleveland, someone who has spent a day or two with Jack Nicklaus, and we thought we'd chat a little bit about that. Dave, you've actually written a couple of books with Jack. You have spent a lot of time with Jack at the Memorial Tournament. We'll get to that in just a minute, but 1986, the first time you ever met Jack Nicklaus, you were kind of a Cub reporter at that time, weren't you?
You know, I didn't have any experience covering tournament golf. It was the first media day or any experience, exposure to the game at that level. And we had a chance. I was working for a daily newspaper up in Portland, Ohio, invited to the media day for the Memorial Tournament. I knew I'd been a Jack Nicklaus fan for forever because sure. My father loved him. He was a Jack guy, not an Arnold guy, with the Ohio connection. And I think they were born 6 days apart, my father and Jack. So my dad was always proud of that.
How about that? Yeah.
That he was 6 days younger than Jack Nicklaus. Anyway. We grew up loving Jack and rooting him on and remembering the 1980 U.S. Open and, you know, being glued to the TV. So here's our chance to go see them, you know, Muirfield Village Golf Club and the Memorial Tournament, and you hear all these great things about it. And, you know, it didn't strike me right away when Jack Nicklaus appeared at Media Day. Of course, in those days, it was still a bit of a younger tournament, and he'd come to Media Day and spend a lot of time doing one-on-ones with radio, TV, whatever. I mean, Jack's always been great with the media.
Yeah.
And That was my first time meeting Jack Nicklaus, and it dawned on me as I'm shaking his hand, it's like, wait a minute, he's the Masters champion,
yes,
too.
Yes,
he had just won the Masters the month before. This was like May 10th of 1986. So, I tell Jack that story later. I said, Jack, you know, I mean, it was such a thrill to be at the media day in 1986, and then it dawns on me that you're the Masters champion. Of course, Jack has that sarcastic streak in him, and he said, you just must have been floored by that meeting. I said, as a matter of fact, I was speechless, to which I just opened the door and put another ball on the tee for him. And he says, well, that's hard for me to believe.
you teed up a couple of them there, didn't you?
Oh my gosh. But he actually loved the story, because I said, can you imagine a guy who was a Jack Nicklaus fan growing up, you know, just thoroughly, idolized Jack as my dad did. And then I get to meet him the first time, and he's the Masters champion, and Jack, he really enjoyed that story.
Dave, you've also spent time, 11 years or so, as the editorial director of Memorial Magazine, which is the magazine that's produced and distributed, sold at the Memorial Tournament each year. So you've spent a lot of time with Jack Nicklaus outside of the plain ropes, outside of the arena. Any good stories you may like to share with us? I know certainly Jack is a family man, always has put family ahead of golf, and you're very much aware of some finishing on a Friday, getting on a plane, and getting back to see the kids or grandkids' games or
that's,
what have you.
That's correct. And he still does a lot of that, where he's running around all sorts of grandkids' games and so forth. Of course, his favorite right now is, you know, Nick O'Leary, the linebacker for the Buffalo Bills. Sure. I mean, you know, when you get to that level, holy, you know.
Nick being his grandson.
Nick is his grandson,
right.
Nan's son.
Right.
He flies around all over the place, but he did a lot of that while he was playing. And I mean, there were times, I particularly talked to him about the period in 1972-73 when he was building Muirfield Village Golf Club. And he had his kids around, and you know, those were two of his most productive years. He won seven times. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then I knew that he was doing those things where he was flying around and he was going back to Florida, say, on a Friday night to catch a football game that Jackie and Steve might be in.
Nice.
And then, you know, Saturday morning, of course, like, you know, we talked about earlier, you can only do that when you're near the lead
so that you
have a late, you know, a late tee time. But he was obviously capable of doing that.
He really would get on a plane, go back for a game Friday night and make his tee time the next day. Did he do that often?
He did. He did it a lot. And, you know, I asked him about those periods in 72, 73. How did he lived in Florida. He was building this course in Ohio, and he won seven times in those each of those two seasons. And he's just always had that ability to compartmentalize. But he also said to me, and this is something I forgot to mention about it when we were talking earlier, he always said to me that the prospect of going to see his kids at an event made golf easier. And because he could concentrate on his golf,
right.
And then, you know, in the back of his mind, there was an excitement to go do something that, you know, with his kids with his kids or whatever. And it was an incentive for him. And it was compartmentalizing all these different things. And I asked Barbara about it. I said, how the heck did he do that? And she goes, I really have no idea. I had never really thought of the amount of time that he was moving around and then yet still able to go see the kids and play well and win tournaments and majors too.
Dave, I can't imagine there were too many other tour players thinking like that. I mean,
other than Arnold, there probably weren't very many tour players who had, you know, their own planes too.
That's true.
But just to have that ability and then to use it.
I mean,
certainly Arnold did, making sure he could get home on Sunday nights, but Jack would go home on Fridays and come back.
Amazing.
To hear the rest of Kelly Elbin's interview with Dave Shedlovsky, log on to GolfLifeNavigators.com and select Voices of the Game.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.